Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Mullane Haugh.
Good morning, guys. Love your show. Listen to it every morning.
On 670 The Score.
Yeah, it's an honor. Those the names that were listed in the, those are all names that I've enjoyed watching at some point or another over my life. And it's just an honor to be able to do that.
Welcome back. It's Mullane Haugh, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Mully off today. It is a happy Friday. In Chicago, going to be a beautiful day at the ballpark. Cubs and Mariners, 120 first pitch out at Wrigley Field right here on The Score. You want to keep it there. You want to go there. You want to be part of it because things just got a lot more interesting. That was Pete Crow Armstrong talking yesterday about becoming a member of the 2020 club. He has designs on being part of the 30-30 club. And then, of course, the 40-40 club is next. How high can he go? I don't know, but the sky seems to be the limit for PCA, who, by the way, will join us at 9:30 today. Pete Crow Armstrong on The Score, 9:30 today. You want to be listening. But what happened yesterday was he became a member of the 20 home run, 20 stolen base club faster than anybody in Cub history. He's not only fast on the bases, he is fast in making history. He does that fast too. And he made it in 73 games. The last Cub to get there fast, that fast, before Pete Crow Armstrong, Sammy Sosa did it in 96 games. That was 1994. Sammy Sosa, who has not been to Wrigley Field in, I believe, 21 years. According to Bob Nightingale, USA Today, a guy who is plugged in and knows Sammy well, and Bob was at the convention in January when Sammy was there and ended the exile and broke his silence on all things Cubs and was at the convention and met with fans and met with players and met with the Cub organization. Sammy Sosa is expected to return today. He arrived in Chicago last night. According to Bob Nightingale, he'll be at Wrigley Field when the Cubs take on the Mariners later this afternoon. Don't know what role, don't know what they have planned. But if you have Sammy Sosa and you're welcoming him back to the ballpark, as it appears they are doing, they've welcomed him back into the organization, I don't think it's going to be a quiet affair. Sammy Sosa does nothing quietly. He does nothing behind the scenes. This will be front and center. This will be Sammy saluting somebody, everybody, always. This is Sammy Sosa, number 21, back in Wrigley Field. What do you think, Cub fans? 312-644-6767. If, let's say, hypothetically, they introduce Sammy Sosa, or if he's on the field, how long, how loud will the ovation be? Are you happy with this development? Did you miss Sammy? Are you one of those people that maybe don't want to see Sammy back at the place where it was he made into a baseball party?
You think there's people out there that don't want to see him back?
I don't know. I don't think so. Not by now. Maybe 10 years ago, maybe 5 years ago. I don't know. But there, yeah, maybe now. Hey, I was at the convention and there were some people there that were not thrilled.
Really?
Yeah a couple. Huh. I mean, small group. Small group. I would think they're in the minority. But sometimes the minority is not so silent. I'm just curious. I think that here's what I think could happen, whether it's today or tomorrow or Sunday. whatever the Cubs have planned, and I'm not privy to the details. This is a big surprise. Bob Nightingale tweeted it out. We found out he tweeted it out at 6:50 a.m. So we're reacting to this in real time like everybody else. But if they find a way to incorporate Sammy into the game operation and presentation, the ovation will be memorable. It will be one of those moments where you'll be glad you're there, glad you're watching or listening, and I'll Pat Hughes on you, it will be a co-star to the PCA movie. Because when you talk about Pete Crow Armstrong, we're talking about all these comparisons. He has the exuberant PCA. He has the charisma. He's got the personality. He's got star power. And the comparisons are, to who was the last Cub to have all of those things and could produce on the field? You might have to go back to Sammy Sosa to find somebody who is as big of a baseball entertainer as PCA seems to be. So I do think that it's interesting to consider what the reaction will be and what prompted this weekend in June for Sammy to make his return. And they kept it pretty quiet. And what is the next step here? Is it a jersey retirement? Is it a statue unveiling?
Well, it's great he's coming back. Like, is it the first pitch today? Is it the seventh inning stretch? Is it both? Is it neither? Is it just is there any chance he like runs out with an American flag in his hand? In all seriousness, David, like is that no shot? I mean, is that a no shot that he doesn't? I mean, he at the Cubs convention, David, didn't he?
He did.
He kind of ran out onto the stage.
But that was a show,
right?
This is a game.
Well, before the game, it's a show.
Yeah,
During the game, it's a show. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to...
I think the only thing you could probably rule out... That's fair. He probably won't be singing the anthem.
No?
No.
Oh, he won't be singing the anthem.
Yeah. Okay. He might be singing the stretch.
Either will speaks today.
I feel bad for Matt Spiegel.
I do, too.
I feel bad for Matt Spiegel. But do we know... Can we update people? We had some texts, and we didn't know quite yesterday. He will be singing that when the rescheduled...
Right. And if I've got it right now, August. That's going to be the day game... That's the first game is the makeup game.
Yeah. Well, that would be good then. He'll get his moment. And he's practiced for it. He'll be ready for it. He just has 7 more weeks to practice.
We got it. We had a little snippet, right? Of him working it out, right?
He's working it out. He did the sound check. He was ready. And then the weather came and intervened. So Sammy back at Wrigley Field today. That's a big moment. PCA will be in center field because Dustin already wrote him into the lineup back in 5:25 when he guaranteed everybody that.
I mean, that would be this week's sign that the apocalypse is upon us if PCA is not in the lineup today. Where? TBD.
Well, I think that he'll probably bat fourth. Don't you think?
I think he should bat second after really thinking it through.
Well, I don't think he's going to supplant Kyle Tucker. I just don't think so. It always depends on the matchup. It depends on what the manager wants, and I think that there are a variety of different ways you could use him. I don't want to get too caught up in PCA can hit wherever. I understand the argument that Ian Happ leading off allows you to work deep into counts, to grind out at bats, and to elevate the pitch count for every starting pitcher. There is value in that. But I also think that if PCA is your best hitter, and this year he has been, then seeing him at the plate as often as possible would be the goal. George Kirby on the mound today for the Mariners. He's a right-hander. So my guess would be that Tucker will be batting second. And PCA, I would say probably fourth.
I just don't want that to happen again, what happened yesterday. You don't want him in the bottom of the ninth standing there with his bat on his shoulder in the on-deck circle.
Well, that happens, though. I mean, I think that happens, and I'm not sure that that was – Marquis flashed to him right away, and it looked like, okay, this
is
a
good director, good producer.
It was very good. It was effective, and it made everybody wonder why he wasn't batting a spot higher. But that's not why I want him a spot higher. I think when you lead him off, he just gets more at bats. And he's been leading off his entire life. But maybe he's destined for the three spot. Maybe he's destined for a cleanup hitter. Whatever he is doing, he needs to keep doing it. 312-644-6767. What do you think of Sammy coming back to Wrigley? He is expected to be there this weekend, according to Bob Nightingale, who tweeted it out about 20 minutes ago. Let's start the conversation with Kevin in Peoria. Kevin, welcome to Mullion Haw.
Good morning, gentlemen. I just wanted to say, I understand that there's a lot of people that want Sammy to come back. I get that. I'm not a fan of it, frankly. Number retirement, absolutely, totally against. Steroids, cork bat. The numbers that he achieved somewhat through cheating. Obviously, you still have to be able to hit the ball. But I am not a fan of glorifying Sammy, and frankly, if it was me, I wouldn't have him back. I just don't think that people who cheated, if you know they cheated, and we know he did, that they shouldn't be a part of, you know, the Ring of Honor, if you want to call it that.
Okay, Kevin, thanks for the phone call. I appreciate where you're coming from, and I understand the resistance to what already has happened. The Cubs have litigated this internally, if you want to call it that. They have covered this ground. He's going into the Cubs Hall of Fame. He's not going into Cooperstown. Probably won't, if I were to guess. He's going into the Cub Hall of Fame. The organization has led him or welcomed him back. They've led him down this path to return to Wrigley Field. So he's going to return to Wrigley Field. What does it mean to Sammy Sosa to return to Wrigley Field? What does he miss about being at the center of everything at Clark and Addison? We asked him that back at the Cub convention in January, and this is what he said.
Everything, you know, I mean, they have a new ballpark. I mean, they have a new clubhouse that I haven't been there. So I want to see everything. You know what I mean? 40,000 square feet. My goodness. When we play, we only have maybe 2,000, you know, square feet clubhouse. So now it's 40,000. And that's one thing that I feel comfortable to. And also I want to go back to the question that you're talking about. What I'm saying is meaning that, because sometimes people get confused when I'm trying to say something. I don't mean it to offend anybody. I don't. But I believe, you know, I'm a man that I've been through so many things in my life. I have a master in fall, but I have another master in get up and move forward. So definitely I feel comfortable about it. I want to make sure that, we don't go to a different direction.
After that, he was asked about the way the media has portrayed him since he has been gone and absent from Wrigley Field for so many years.
Look, I mean, today and age, the social media, people want to say whatever they want to say. Now, day and age today, everybody's a reporter. So, look, 90% that approve you and 10% is, not happen. Hey, you know, it's like a win the lottery.
Sammy Sosa back at Wrigley Field. I did not expect that to happen today. I thought this was going to be a weekend where you look at the Mariners, very good team, by the way. They're one game over 500. No slouch. Dan Wilson, Barrington product. I bet you Dan Wilson, who's a Sosa contemporary, will have some sort of reaction to Sammy Sosa being part of the festivities this weekend at Wrigley Field. Dan Wilson probably has thoughts on Sammy Sosa. He played against him, I'm sure. He may have wondered the same things we all wondered over the last 20 years. Is he ever coming back? What does he have to do? Sammy Sosa, for a lot of people, creates conflicted feelings, because nobody can deny what they felt and how enthusiastic they were when he was running out to right field in a number 21 jersey. And he brought people to the ballpark in a way that few Cubs ever have. And ironically enough, in a way that we think Pete Crow Armstrong is capable of doing for years to come. This is a tremendous confluence of popular figures from Cubs past and Cubs present. Sammy Sosa, during the heyday of this Sosa of that era, and yes, everybody, we understand what happened and why he hit the home runs and all those things that he has addressed indirectly, too indirectly for some people's taste. I get that. But you can't deny the way that he packed the ballpark for so many years. And that's a kind of nostalgia. That's the kind of enthusiasm. That's the kind of reaction, the visceral reaction to seeing Sammy at Wrigley Field that some people will feel today, and maybe you won't. And that's okay. Call us and tell us why. 312-644-6767. Are you as ticked off as some people seem to be on the text line that Sammy's coming back? Or are you embracing him like the Cubs appear to have been doing right now? Because he wouldn't be coming back if he wasn't welcome. 312-644-6767. Mark is in Richmond. Mark, welcome to Mullion Haw.
Good morning, gentlemen. I've been listening to you guys for a very long time, and it's really, really sad that you guys are defending a cheater.
Not doing that. Not doing that. I didn't defend a cheater.
You're making excuses for the man, and it's sad.
No excuses. No excuses. I'm laying it out there. This is the reality. The reality is that it creates conflicted feelings. Mark, you don't like Sammy Sosa coming back. I respect that. There are a lot of people out there like you. But there are also a lot of people you have to respect the other side of the argument. A lot of people are like, it's about time, Sammy. We forgive you. Come back. Give me a hug. Lean in here, big guy. Right? Mark?
No, because it's you're defending a cheater in the Cubs organization. Should be kind of sad for doing that. And that means Roger Clemens should be exonerated with all his teams for knowingly being cheated. Barry Bonds knowingly for juicing up. It's just not right. They're glorifying a cheater. They're saying it's okay to cheat, and it doesn't matter. After some time goes by, we'll just wash it underneath the rug. Not right.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate the phone call. Jake is on the road. Jake, welcome to Mullion Haw.
Hey, guys. Good morning. I just wanted to chime in on the Sammy Sosa talk. I think he saved baseball. Regardless of what you want to call it, cheating or not, at the time, it wasn't known to be cheating, okay? There was so many people do it. They weren't testing for it the way they do today. It wasn't considered cheating until it hit the major news and there was this big investigation, all right? The truth of the matter is that this guy did save baseball along with Barry, McGuire, all those guys of that era. You look at the state of baseball before this happened. Okay, steroids was prevalent long before the 90s. They were using steroids, but it wasn't a big deal until, you know, somebody ran his mouth and, you know, whatever. Hey, the court bad thing, you can call it for what it is, okay? I think, hey, that's a slip-up. All right, I give Sammy the benefit of the doubt. All right, but let's be honest. All right, these guys did save baseball. He should be welcome back. And honestly, any other argument.
Thanks, Jake. Appreciate the phone call. Yeah. Passionate one. Patrick is in Bartlett. Patrick, welcome to Mullion Haw.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. Listen, guys, you know, I can remember sitting on my couch and watching Sammy and McGuire and their battle, and it was so much fun for us as we were growing up. So, you know, hate the guy if you want to. I agree with what Jake said. He, you know, he did break some of the rules knowingly or unknowingly. To me, it doesn't matter. I'm 70 now, and I want to see that guy run out into the middle of center field and hug Pete Crow Armstrong before the game.
I love that idea. Patrick, thank you. I think that's a great idea. I'm not going to deprive anybody of their rancor or if they resent the fact that Sammy is coming back. You're entitled to that resentment. You're entitled to that reaction. But I think you have to respect the other side of it too. It's been a long time. And over the 21 years that he has been absent from Wrigley Field, if the Cubs have found a spot in their baseball heart to forgive him or to allow him back into the fold because of some things that he has told them or the conditions that he has met, then I think, come on, it's been a long time. Is it a lifetime ban from Wrigley Field? He's likely to be left out of Cooperstown forever. Do you do the same thing for the ballpark where he really brought people in droves, in thousands? He helped make Wrigley Field what it was in the late 90s. The place you wanted to be. The guy you wanted to see. The star you wanted to emulate. Is he the last guy who captivated a Wrigley Field audience the way that Pete Crow Armstrong is today? That's a good conversation too. There's a lot of good conversations to have about this. Sammy Sosa is expected back at Wrigley Field, according to Bob Nightingale. We're working on all the other details. We'll be here till 10. We'll have a lot of time. Hey, by the way, we're talking to PCA at 9:30. I'm sure he'll have a thought on this. Ron Coomer, Noster Kumis, will join us at 8 o'clock. We're going to shift gears real quick. We're going to talk to Casey Johnson when we come back. There's some bull stuff going on. Want to get his thoughts on the NBA Finals. We will get back to your calls and back to Sammy Sosa after we talk to Casey. Keep it right here. Mullenhaw. Mully is off today. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
C. Johnson.
Kobe White, pull-up three over Karis LeVert and nails it.
Chicago Bulls insider from Chicago Sports Network.
I've covered the NBA for a long time.
KC Johnson with Mullen Haw.
Bulls.
On 670 The Score.
Welcome back. It's Mullen Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Mully is off today. We are talking about Sammy Sosa's return to Wrigley Field and PCA getting to 2020 quicker than anybody in Cub history. But we are going to take a brief moment here to talk about the Bulls and the NBA Finals with our next guest, Casey Johnson, who joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Good morning, Casey. How are you?
Good morning, Dave. What's going on, man?
Oh, just a lot. There's a lot going on this weekend. It's fun. But last night was fun, too, to see Game 6, NBA Finals, the home court advantage that the Pacers enjoyed there. I believe it had to have factored in at some point. Just curious, what did you expect to happen last night before Game 6, and how did the outcome surprise you if it did?
Yeah, I mean, I picked the Thunder in 6, so I obviously am surprised that Indiana pushed this to Game. Well, I'm not surprised, but I'm wrong because Indiana pushed it to Game 7. You know, really, really impressive performance by a lot of people. Obviously, you got to start with Tyrese Haliburton playing through that injury. TJ McConnell, huge off the bench. You know, I said before this series, this is actually pretty too unique beyond the style of play that both these teams employ. Two pretty unique fan bases, two pretty unique arenas in the league. So to your point, I can't even imagine how loud it was in there last night. I mean, you could hear it through the TV. Great atmosphere. We're lucky. You know, anyone who thought this was going to be two small markets, lack of star power series, I hope you're watching because this is fantastic basketball, and we're lucky to be getting to Game 7.
And Sunday it might be louder in Oklahoma City. It might be louder because of the stakes in Game 7, the two best words in sports. It's been a while since they've had Game 7 in the NBA Finals, and teams who play at home are 15-4 in those circumstances. That said, I don't know what to expect, Casey. I don't know if T.J. McConnell is going to go T.J. Chitwood and look at Rick Carlisle and say, I'll make it, and then hit the game winner to be an epic ending for the Pacers. I don't know what to think about what the Pacers can do. Can they win in that environment? What do you think will happen Sunday?
I mean, obviously, since I picked the Thunder, I'm still going to believe in them. And I mean, they won 68 games for a reason. I mean, they have a historic defense. They have depth. They have, you know, the league MVP, obviously. They're playing at home. So, you know, the odds are going to be in their favor. That said, I mean, Indiana's been doing this all playoffs. You count them out, you know, either for a series or for a game. You know, all the improbable finishes they've had, the improbable comebacks they've had. They just keep coming at you. I mean, it was actually astonishing to watch them play last night. If you picked up on this, they were getting the ball across half court, you know, like 2 seconds into the shot clock after a made or missed basket almost every time. It's remarkable the way they play. It's breathtaking. And I know Oklahoma City plays a similar style, but, you know, obviously last night Indiana was able to impose their will, and they're just getting contributions from so many people, just like Oklahoma City are in their wins. So, fantastic series. I'm going to be locked into Game 7. You know, I'm going to pick the Thunder, just because that's who I picked before the series, but am I going to be surprised if Indiana upsets them? I mean, how can you be? That's what Indiana's been doing all playoffs.
Same here. We're talking to Casey Johnson, the Bulls insider for the Chicago Sports Network here on The Score. Got to ask this then, because regardless of who wins, is there anything that happened in this finals, regardless of what happens in terms of the winner, that the Bulls can look at and say, ah, we want to try to emulate that, or this is something that we're trying to do and we just need to do it better? Is there a takeaway for the Bulls?
Well, I mean, I hope the biggest takeaway is how far they are away, because that's the reality of the situation. So let's start there. If you get past that, I mean, obviously, stylistically, the Bulls underwent a pretty significant transformation from two seasons ago to last season. And that transformation is akin to, you know, what the way the league is trending and the way that the Pacers like to play. Fast pace, a lot of possessions, quick decisions, a lot of threes. And, you know, I thought overall the Bulls had a pretty good offensive season last year. You'd like to expect that to continue, you know, with internal improvement. And obviously they're going to be likely adding the pick here next week. So there's that. You know, Arturis, at the season-ending news conference, we all heard him talk about, you know, building out a roster with 9-10 players deep. I mean, that's the style that both these teams use, but they obviously are filled – both these rosters are filled with far more two-way players, far more versatile players than the Bulls have at this point. I mean, I'm not saying that this is the definitive roster the Bulls have, or I'm not putting a cap on player development. I mean, Dalen Terry made minor strides last year. You know, you don't know where these guys can go, and that's what the Bulls are counting on, is for their own players to develop and then to add whatever they do in the offseason. But those would probably be the two significant thematic things I'd point to.
So we discussed earlier in the week the contract extensions for Arturis Karnišovas and Mark Eversley through the 27-28 season, likely in line and in sync with Billy Donovan's contract extension that needs to be finalized. But, Casey, the big thing about the future may come maybe Wednesday, because that is the draft. The NBA offseason will last 48 hours, and back at it on Wednesday for the draft, and the Bulls still picking 12th. What do you think in terms of their visits? Is there anything that you can glean from the way that they have handled the pre-draft process to think which way they are leaning at 12?
No, I mean, overall, the two biggest points probably to point to that I've heard is that they are very much cognizant of the style of play that I cited earlier, in the sense that they want to add a player that, you know, fits that profile, you know, that can be athletic, be a two-way player, run up and down the court. If it introduces some rim protection, all the better. I mean, we know this is a guard-heavy roster. We know this is a roster that's lacking front-court players. I think if you focus on position or need, you can get tripped up in the draft. You really just kind of got your let your process play, and, you know, whoever is the top of your board when your pick comes, that's what you do, and you figure out the roster afterward. That said, I would certainly believe that they'd prefer to add a front-court player, and I think there's going to be a good front-court player available. I think this draft is really, you know, past two or three or four is really beauty in the eye of the beholder. So we saw Modest slip to 11 last year. You're seeing a finals right now, obviously, with two high-profile 12 picks. So you can get a good player at 12, and I certainly believe that the Bulls are confident that they're going to do that. I just know that the big takeaway is that they want to add somebody that can fit with this offensive transformation stylistically that they undertook last season.
I know you weren't surprised by the news about AK and Eversley signing contract extensions, nor are you surprised that Billy Donovan is somebody they value enough to want to keep around for even longer. My question would be, before we let you go, does that security in terms of the contractual certainty that they have affect how aggressive or maybe how passive they might be entering the draft, entering the trade market, entering free agency?
I mean, I'm not sure. It's a fair question, but here's what I would say. I think regardless of contract situation, my sense of being around this management team and this coaching staff for 5 years now is like they took their big swings in 21 and completely overhauled the roster in a manner that I don't think many people expected when Arturas first came here. He came from a Denver Nuggets franchise that was largely modeled through the draft and through continuity. So for him to come in and inherit that roster and then blow it up and with significant moves like Vucevic and DeRozan and Lonzo Ball, was a surprise, quite frankly. So he took that route. And my sense right now is, especially with what I heard him say at the end of the news conference, at the end of the season, with the news conference where he asked for patience, my sense is that all right, let's do this differently. Let's build through the draft. Let's get internal development. Let's obviously be cognizant of opportunities to, strike in free agency or via trade. But my sense is this is going to be a methodical approach. So, I mean, is that augmented by the fact that he's got security? Sure. But I think he's known he's going to have security for a while. This is not a recent development with these extensions. So, yeah, that's probably how I would answer that.
KC, thanks for getting up and talking Bulls. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too, David. Take care, man.
KC Johnson, Bulls Insider for the Chicago Sports Network, setting the scene for the Bulls draft next week, Wednesday. They pick 12th and also predicting Oklahoma City, as I have Sunday night in Game 7. And I would love to see the Pacers win. I just don't think it's going to happen. That would be a great ending to that movie. Boy, T.J. McConnell hitting the shot, or Halliburton, or anybody. That would be a great movie to Hoosiers Part 2, the sequel. What a game that would be. All right, back to baseball because we need to reset where we are here. Big day in Chicago at Wrigley Field. According to Bob Nightingale, Sammy Sosa is coming back to Wrigley for the first time in 21 years. Welcomed with open arms by the organization. He was at the fan convention. Sammy Sosa will be there, and he will be, in a way, taking part, interrupting PCA's moment. PCA, Pete Crow Armstrong, yesterday became the fastest player in Cub history to get to 20 home runs and 20 stolen bases. It took him 73 games. It was the fastest a Cub had gotten to 2020 since Sammy Sosa back in 1994. There are similarities. They're both huge entertainers. They're both charismatic individuals. And to see them on the field at the same time today would be a treat for Cub fans. That's my opinion. What's yours? 312-644-6767. Let's go out to Carlos, who is on the south side. Carlos, welcome to Mullion Haw. How are you?
I'm well, sir. Happy Friday, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Good, good. All right, so I'll keep this very short and sweet. I'm just going to piggyback off what you just said right now. Me personally, I know it's a little premature to say, but I said it at the beginning of last season, PCA is going to be a superstar. I called it, and I normally don't call too many shots like that, but hey, man, PCA was a superstar. I said the same thing about Corey Patterson. I said the same thing about Felix Pierre years back, but, all right, I'm wrong. 99% of the time I'm right, but 1% wrong.
And you're humble, Carlos. You're very humble.
But going back to the Sammy Sosa thing, I was at my prime age, my freshman year in college, and baseball's in my blood. My father played professionally in Mexico, so I'm a huge student of the game. And watching Sammy Sosa and what he did for baseball is exactly what you said. He brought excitement back. He revived the game. Him and Mark McGwire, despite everything that we're not going to get into, everything, it doesn't matter. They literally put the pumps on the lungs of baseball, and they revived the game after the 1994 strike. Now, every other player who has been pinched for whatever, and they came out and admitted their wrongs, they've been accepted by the public. They've been accepted by their home base, whatever team they played for. And you know what? Chicago, we're a huge sports market. We're a huge baseball market.
Yep.
And it's time. It's time. It's time for us to say,
you know what? You've paid your dues. You stayed out of the spotlight. You weren't this cat that was out there, you know, begging to come back. And Sammy Sosa stayed out of the spotlight.
He it's been long enough, right, Carlos? Business. It's been long enough, right? 21 right. years, long enough.
100%. He has paid his dues. And me personally, short and sweet man, welcome back, Sammy. We are embracing you with open arms. We loved you back then. And you know what? We love you even more now because the way that you carried yourself after everything that you were accused of or blamed for, whatever, pick your flavor.
Thanks, Carlos. Appreciate the sentiment. And I'm sure if people agree out there, and I'm sure there's people that disagree out there. Whatever it is, let us know. 312-644-6767. Keep it right here all morning long. Pete Carr-Armstrong at 9:30 and at 10 o'clock until 12:45. Marshall Harris, Mark Grody. They're Gallagher way. That's where you want to be. Cubs Mariners, that's where they want to be leading up to Zach's pregame at 12:45. All brought to you by IDOT, the Illinois Department of Transportation, on hand with activities to show you how you can be safe driving home from the game today. Visit itsnotagameillinois.com to learn more. 312-644-6767. What do you think? Sammy's back. It's Mullen Haas, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Mullen Haas,
long-time listener, huge fan of the show.
On 670 The Score.
I don't know, maybe 21 months, maybe 60, you know, he's 60, 61 here, so I don't know. I mean, look, it was so many opportunities that I have to come through, you know, and also, you know, he's 64, 63, 64, and 66, and the year that I had a home run champion was when I had 50. So, you know what I mean?
Welcome back. It's Mullen Haas, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Mully off today. That was Sammy Sosa back at the Cub Convention in January. He is going to be at Wrigley Field today, according to Bob Nightingale in USA Today, who tweeted out about an hour ago Sammy's pending arrival. He is in Chicago now and expected to be at the ballpark. We're getting a lot of reaction out there on the text line and your callers, 312-644-6767, 847 texter. Sosa was a selfish fraud who epitomized all that was wrong with baseball during the C-League regime. The fact that MLB was complicit doesn't make Sosa less guilty. All right. That's your opinion. 415, everyone knows you love PCA. Stop comparing him to Sammy. It's going too far. Okay. Maybe so. Let's get out to the phone lines, 312-644-6767. But come on, PCA... he was the fastest Cub to 20 homers and 20 stolen bases. The last guy to get there that fast was Sammy Sosa in 1994. It took him 96 games. It took PCA 73. That's the comparison. And they are charismatic. They are entertainers. And they are guys who you could say and justify, I'm buying a ticket to see him play. I'm buying a ticket to watch him bat. Yeah, I don't think the comparison is as off base as the texter implies, but that's just me. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Tom is in Garfield Ridge. Tom, welcome to Mullen Haas. Hey, Tom. We lose Tom? All right, goodbye, Tom. Sam is listening on the Odyssey app. Sam, welcome to Mullen Haas.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good.
Awesome. First off, I would just like to say I listen to you so great. You're a nice show every day. I'm actually at work right now, but I just wanted to chime in on Sammy Sosa. Like, 21 years, Sosa for 2021, but 21 moves. Yeah, we all make mistakes, but can we forgive him? not only that, but he rallied Wrigley Field and all the Chicago fans after 9/11, with the flag and stuff. But, and then, of course, congratulations to UCA, because that's pretty freaking awesome. And he's awesome. I'm actually from Provo, Utah, and I've grown up watching because my mom grew up in Indiana. So, yeah, I've been watching the Cubs my whole life.
Great, Sam.
It's going to be an awesome year.
It's going to be a good day. Yeah, thanks for listening every day as well on the Odyssey app. Wayne is on the road. Wayne, welcome to Mullion Haw.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm so excited that he's coming back, and let it go, man. It's cool that guys are getting compared to him because he set a standard. And at the end of the day, he wasn't breaking the rules at the time. So just let it go. He's paid his price.
Thanks, Wayne. Appreciate the phone call. 815 Texter agrees. Today is the day I've been waiting for to go to the Cubs game and pay my respects to Sammy. I feel any true Cub fan should be able to appreciate what he's done, and anyone that is upset can just stay home and cry. Farmer Pat weighs in via text. Back to the phone lines. How about Jeff is on the Odyssey app. Jeff, welcome back to Mullion Haw.
Hey, good morning, David. I won't get you off by saying anything about PCA going to L.A. today, but sorry about that. I think it's a false narrative that these people that call in and say they saved the game by what they did. If they had a meeting beforehand with the commissioner and all that, and they said, hey, you know what, we need to save this game. How are we going to do it? Let's do it by taking steroids. That'd be a different thing. These guys did it for a different reason. So, I mean, the Cubs can retire his number. They can do whatever they want. That's a Cub thing. But to say it, that they saved the game because of what they did, I think you're going out on a big limb. It'd be like saying, finding out that Jordan used flubber in his sneakers to jump higher, and then saying, oh, you know what? You know, the greatest player that we know cheated, which he didn't. So he's still the GOAT. If anybody wants to dispute that, they're wrong. But I just think it's a false narrative to go down that route and keep saying they saved the game. Let the guys have their flowers for the teams they played for. That's an individual thing. That's up to the teams. But I don't like when Ken Griffey Jr. and Frank Thomas and all these other guys played the game at a high level, didn't do the stuff that they did. It just kind of diminishes what they did then.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate the phone call. Ron Coomer surely has thoughts about Sammy Sosa's return, about Pete Crow-Armstrong, and about how he called the home run Dansby Swanson hit yesterday. We'll talk to him next. It's Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.